Hey, friend, today we're going to see that in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore.
Isn't it good news, seeing the rich and redeemed, seeing sin's filth washed clean, seeing enslaved men free?
Hey, friend, it's Thursday. Hey, just a warning, as you probably can tell, the audio is not going to be as good as normal, because I'm in a tractor cab recording this episode. That's right. We are way behind on the farm and the sun is shining. So I don't have a lot of time in the office near my desk. So, hey, I've got an iPhone and then we're going to try to record this one from a tractor cab, but I still want you to love your Bible this week. And I thought, what better way to get you to love your Bible is to take you on a mountain climb to one of the epic passages of Scripture, which is Psalm 16. So David is writing the psalm, and it's just so packed with the goodness of God and how if you will live your life focused on his goodness, you will have joy and pleasure, not just today, not just tomorrow, but forevermore. So let's get into the psalm. Psalm 16:1 says this: "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." So line one, David is saying, God, I need you to preserve me. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but maybe you're in a moment that is really hard. Maybe your job's hard. It's finals week. If you're a Murray State student, maybe school's really hard right now. Maybe you're a high school student and trying to wrap up the year. You just need to persevere. You just need to keep going. Maybe the kids are crazy. Life's just hard right now. So this might be your prayer to the Lord. Lord, preserve me. I need help right now. So David, in a moment of needing help, notice what he says: "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." See, the Lord is David's refuge. When David's in trouble, when he doesn't know where to go, when he doesn't know what to do, when life is hard and complicated and out of control, he goes to God. God is his refuge. So whatever you're going through right now, whatever's hard and troubling and maybe you just don't know if you're going to make it or not, whatever that is for you, know that the Lord is your refuge. The Lord is your place that you can run to find help in your moment of trouble. So notice what David says next. He says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." And that's really interesting what David does. He says, "I say to the Lord," and that word is Yahweh. If you look in your Bible, it's all caps. That means it's Yahweh, that personal name of God. So I say to Yahweh, the God that I know personally, he's revealed himself to me, "You are my Lord." That's Adonai. That's where we get Lord in the New Testament. That you're the one I come under. You're the one I submit to. You are my Lord. You're the one that I give the reins of my life to. So David's not saying, "Hey, I'm coming under some God I don't really know." Saying, "No, I'm making the Lord who I know, Yahweh." And then he says, "I have no good apart from you." I mean, what a statement. I have no good apart from you. Now, that's absolutely true. I mean, James would tell us that every good gift comes from the Father. So that is absolutely true. Nothing good that you have is apart from the Lord. The Lord is in all of the goodness that we experience, but sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think all the good things are our own doing. They're because of our efforts, our good works, but any good that you experience, behind it is the goodness of God. And if you'll remember that, then all the good gifts that you have, all the goodness you experience, it will point you to a good God. Like Jonathan Edwards once says, it's like when you find that all the drops of water, all the streams, they all go back to an ocean, and the ocean is God. So let those little drops of water, those rivers and lakes that you enjoy, remember they're all part of an ocean of God's goodness. And then he says in verse 3, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. So not only is David saying, I have no good apart from God, but now he's talking about delighting in the people of God, the saints in the land, how they are excellent and they hold his delight. So part of finding joy in the Lord is finding joy in his people. That you delight in the church. You delight in the people of God. And guess what? This is really messy and really hard. You got to remember, all good things come from God. God's given you a family. You're not just a lone ranger. You're not just a disciple walking around. No, you are you're a son. You're a daughter, which means you're a sister and a brother. You have a family of faith. And David says, hey, I'm delighting in the family of faith. And part of our delight as Christians come from delighting in those around us. And then in verse 4, he's not going to talk about the people of God, but the people of the world. He says, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. So now he goes to, hey, those people who don't know God, those people who are worshiping idols, well, their sorrows, they multiply. Now, why is that? Because, well, they're seeking joy and satisfaction and all the things that only God can give. They're seeking those from something other than God. And instead of those things satisfying, they're leaving them empty. So their sorrows are multiplying. And so he says, I'm not going to do what they do. I'm not going to pour out their offerings of blood. I'm not going to bring their names on my lips. In other words, I'm not going to seek worship and satisfaction the way the world does, because I know it's empty, because I have the Lord, which is what he's going to say in verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Like, I love what David says there. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. In other words, he's saying when it comes to food, when it comes to drink, when it comes to those very earthy needs that speak to deeper needs, it's the Lord. The Lord is my portion. Like what I want in this world, I want the Lord. I want my portion to be him and his goodness. And when it comes to, I want his cup. I want God more than anything. And then he says, you hold my lot. So not only have I made the Lord my portion, but the Lord actually has my lot in his hand. The Lord is the one directing how my life's going to go and all the things I will get or won't get. And thinking about the lot that the Lord is giving, he says in verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. So if God is holding your lot, then David says, the lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. In other words, my life, how it's going, how it will go, it's pleasant. It's actually beautiful. Because I know that whatever I have, it's from the Lord and it's what the Lord wants me to have. And so you have a real content here from David. He's not looking around saying, man, I wish I had that guy's lot. I wish I had that girl's lot. I wish that the lines would have fallen for me in a different way, because it seems like the people around me are better off. It seems like God has given them more. No, he says, I love my lot. I love what I have because it's from the Lord and it's the Lord that I want. See, part of finding joy in the Lord, it's not being jealous of those around you. It's not looking at your neighbor's house. It's not looking at the next job. It's not looking at how your kids are not doing well. It's not looking at you not making an A in class and looking at everybody else. They're smarter. They're brighter. They're prettier. No, it's saying whatever I have is from the Lord and it's enough because it's good, because the Lord knows what I need, and I have a beautiful inheritance. And that's right now, but also forever. Like, if you're a child of God, you have a beautiful inheritance because the kingdom is coming. Verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I've set the Lord always before me because he is in my right hand. I shall not be shaken. So now David's blessing the Lord because it's the Lord who's giving him counsel and instruction. And how do you get that counsel and instruction? Well, he set the Lord before him, so he shall not be shaken because the Lord's at his right hand. So this is a really practical thing for us. As we lean into the instruction and counsel of the Lord, then we are, in a sense, setting the Lord before us. We are following the Lord, and that means we're going in the right directions, and we're going to go in the right ways. We're not going to veer off the path to the left or the right because God's in front of us, which means, as David says, I shall not be shaken. In other words, if I'm following the Lord's word and the Lord's will, then I'm not going to be shaken because I'm in the Lord's path. And in his path, there is where joy is found. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. So because he's listening and following the Lord, his heart's glad. He's rejoicing. His flesh is secure. And we see this very vividly in verse 10. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Now, in Acts, we see the apostles pointing to this verse and saying, hey, Peter says, this is not talking about David only, but about Jesus. It's Jesus who was not abandoned to Sheol. It's Jesus who didn't see corruption. So here David is claiming something that's really true about Jesus. But if you know the big story of the Bible, David can say, hey, what's true of Jesus is going to be true of me because Jesus is David's son. And the reason David has a son named Jesus is because he's the coming king who's going to reverse the curse. And so David can say, hey, I'm banking on the Messiah who's promised from my line, and somehow he's not going to ever face corruption. So what David is pointing to is the hope of the resurrection, that the reason to have a beautiful inheritance is because the resurrection is going to happen. Not his in the first place, but Jesus is in the first place. And because of Jesus' resurrection, David is also going to experience a resurrection. And the same is true for us, that our soul will not be abandoned to Sheol, the place of the dead, that we will not see corruption in an ultimate sense because, well, Jesus rose from the dead. We have a resurrection story that points us to the great heaven that is to come, the great new earth that is to come. We will dwell with God forever, which brings verse 11 into vivid color. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I remember the first time I read that verse as a new Christian, and I was blown away. I mean, I'm like a freshman in college. I had been looking for joy and pleasure in all the wrong places. And then all of a sudden, I meet Jesus for real. And I come to him through repentance and faith. And then all of a sudden, Jesus becomes my treasure that gives me joy. And I could see the reality that this verse is true, that the Lord is joy and pleasure, more so than what the world could ever give me or afford me. So let's just walk through this verse. First of all, you make known to me the path of life. And so we see the reality that when you are a child of God, when you're following the Lord, one of the things the Lord does is he shows you the path of life. Not the path of death, but the path of life. You're on the path of death before you meet Jesus, right? That's the wide way that leads to destruction. That's the way of the world. That's the way that the many people are on. But when you come to know Jesus, he leads you in the path of life. Life is not death. Life is good. And on this path, notice what David says. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. So on that path of life, we find the very presence of God, that we get to be with God. We get to experience God, that his presence goes with us. And in his presence, there is, notice, not just joy, but fullness of joy. That's not a little bit of joy. That's a lot of joy. See, the world gives us all sorts of joys, but the world can't give us fullness of joy. Sin gives you a lot of joy. That's why you do it. It feels good. It's momentary happiness and pleasure, but it's not full. And David is saying, hey, God, when I'm walking in the path of life, when I'm under your presence, what I experience is fullness of joy. And that's why you see in the New Testament, the writers can write about suffering and hard times and death and martyrdom and saying, we're happy, we're joyful, because there is a joy of the Lord that surpasses all understanding. And not only does David have full joy in God's presence, not only can you have full joy in God's presence, but it says this, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So we have joy and pleasure, the two things that it seems the world offers you all the time through every ad that you watch, through every commercial. Hey, buy this, do this, come here, and you'll have joy and pleasure. God is saying, in my presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. Notice that word forevermore. See, again, the world is offering you lots of pleasures, but they're pleasures with an expiration date. They're pleasures that last a moment. God is giving you pleasure that lasts forever. It's not fleeting. It's not going to run out. It's not going to give out. But instead, the pleasures that are found in the presence of the Lord, they are forever pleasures. That's why I love Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. It says he was able to give up the pleasures of Egypt. Well, because he had a better joy, a better pleasure, because, well, the reproach of Christ was better joy because it's forever. It doesn't end. It's never ending. The pleasures of Egypt, they are fleeting. The pleasures of God are never ending. And I want you to know that friend, the pleasures of our culture, they are fleeting. The pleasures of God, they are forever and they never end. So this is why we want to love our Bibles, because in the Bible we find the path of life. In the Bible we discover the presence of God over us so that we can walk in his presence and experience fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. So I don't know what you're going through today, but let's just think about how David, when he's in trouble, when he needs to be preserved. Remember how it starts out, this psalm? Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. In other words, I'm having a really bad day. I'm in trouble. I need you, God. And so in that moment, what does he do? He runs to God. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. And not only does he take refuge in God, but he remembers that God's people are where he should find his delights. Not in the things of the world, not in the way other people get satisfied, because their sorrows, they're only going to multiply. But it's in the people of God that he's going to find the joy of God. And as we walk through, he's saying, God, you're my portion, you're my cup. I trust you. I'm going to be content with you. I know that you won't abandon my soul. I know there's a resurrection coming. And guess what? Right now, you're showing me the path of life. Right now, you're giving me joy, full joy. Right now, there are pleasures forevermore that won't ever give up. They'll only get better. Friend, we have the gospel of the Lord. We have the good news of Jesus, that he died and rose again to give you full joy and pleasure forevermore, because in his presence, both of those things exist. You are made for God. Like Augustine said, you have made me for you. My heart is restless until I find rest in you. That is absolutely true. That you are made for the presence of God. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. So friend, today, open up your Bible, put your nose in it, and read Psalm 16. Meditate through it and truly believe that in the Lord, there is pleasure forevermore, and there is joy that is full. Hey friend, I hope today helped you love your Bible a little bit more. I know the audio is not great, so I do apologize for that, but I hope the audio didn't distract you from the goodness of the Lord. And I hope today you have loved your Bible just a little bit more, because when you love your Bible, you love God, serve people, and live a life that matters. Hey, if you would, comment on this podcast, share it with a friend, give it a 5-star review. Really appreciate that. And hey, I will see you next Thursday on the Love Your Bible podcast.